the stars are right, and that means it's time for another episode of The Whisper in Darkness. I'm your host, The Man from Lang. Thank you very much for joining me today. On this episode, we are continuing with our review of the rogue cards in the revised core set for the benefit of new players. This is part three of a three-part series looking at the upgrades. There are spoilers throughout if you care about that sort of thing. If you enjoy what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. Just a quick reminder of how we rate cards here on The Whisper in Darkness. The best of the best get an Elder Sign, while the worst of the worst get an Auto Fail, and the cards in between get a plus one, zero, or Elder Thing respectively. Cards that you build around or are good in one particular investigator get a Blessed Token. Before we get started, I'd like to thank the patrons of this channel for their tremendous support. The Arkham Horror LCG community is amazing, and these people have gone above and beyond to bring you content like these reviews. If you'd like to support the channel's goals and see your name on this list, head over to patreon.com, sign up for a tier of your choice, and claim your rewards. That would be awesome. Without further ado, let's get started. There are six upgrades for the rogue cards available in the revised core set. We are starting off with the level one version of Leo DeLuca, the Louisiana Lion. Five cost ally with one XP. Has an intellect skill icon, ally, and criminal trait. Again, you may take an additional action during your turn. Two health, two sanity, and takes up an ally slot. You're not getting a whole lot for that that one XP, just a one resource cost discount. But, I mean, making the one of the best allies in the revised core set slightly cheaper for one XP isn't the worst thing in the world.
No, I mean, you could watch our level zero review of Leo and pretty much get the same results. The one important caveat, I guess, being is that you don't have to take that resource action at the beginning of the game in order to play Leo, which is nice. It gives you an extra action during the first turn of the game, but I mean, other than that, it's the same card.
One thing to note about this one is you can go an entire campaign without ever upgrading him, and that's probably great, because one thing you might start to learn as you experience the rogue and then you start expanding your card pool is that the rogue has a lot of outlets for XP, a lot of uses for XP. So Leo just spending an XP to save a resource ends up being like very low in the priority list, I gotta say.
I think that's even the case within the confines of the core set. Skids is probably gonna want Hot Streak, and Wendy will probably dip into some survivor cards, and it's fine.
I still think Leo DeLuca is an Elder Sign, but I don't know if I have ever upgraded him as a priority. It's not certainly not the first card I'm purchasing. I'm not sure how to rate this one besides saying he's an Elder Sign, but with a big caveat that you probably don't necessarily need to upgrade to him either.
Yeah, that's true. Tell you what, here's what you do. If you lose one of your copies of Leo DeLuca because you're playing him in every single rogue deck, you have backups. You just have to take your little Sharpie and you mark a little six on the top.
I think there are times where maybe you earn like 7 experience or 9 experience, and it's like, you have the experience, so sure, but...
Yeah,
it's not a priority, like we've been saying.
How would you rate him? I know Nate and I both rated him an Elder Sign, and I think, Matastrophic, you came in at a plus one.
Yeah.
Can we just stick with those ratings and say, sure.
Sure.
If you've got the XP, awesome. Yeah. If not, fine.
Can I change my rating to an Elder Asterisk?
An asterisk with like tentacles coming out of everywhere.
Just an Elder Sign, but in asterisk form.
Maybe we need to make a new category just for these, you know, just for these, where like the card itself is great, but not this version of it.
The next card in the box is Cat Burglar. It is a 4-cost ally with the that costs 1 XP. It has willpower and agility skill icons, the ally and criminal trait. You get plus 1 agility. As an action, you may exhaust Cat Burglar, disengage from each enemy engaged with you, and move to a connecting location. This action does not provoke attacks of opportunity. He has 2 health and 2 sanity and takes up an ally slot. Again, we've got an ally that provides a passive skill boost, in this case agility, so that would bump Skids or Wendy up to a 5 apiece, which is pretty great. The ability to disengage from each enemy engaged with you and move to a connecting location is particularly valuable in the final scenario of the revised core set. This can get you out of a whole lot of trouble. I think the biggest issue, at least when the core was printed, was that Leo DeLuca exists, and without charisma to be able to have two allies, it can be tough to justify picking this guy up, even at the bargain basement price of 1 XP.
Yeah, that is interesting thought, actually. Leo versus this guy. Because this guy does things that Leo doesn't do. He adds an agility, one agility icon to all your tests, and being able to bail out of being surrounded, Leo doesn't do that either. So
yeah,
it's worth considering.
Yeah, I think he's pretty good in Wendy, honestly. Like you were saying, Man from Lang, there's a situation in the third scenario that this is just an absolute silver bullet for. But, you know, if you're able to generate like four actions out of this thing, if you think about like evading and moving as each one action, and you can use this ability like two or three times a game, and then maybe those plus one and the agility like helps you in other circumstances, like this ally is pretty useful. And the fact that he can tank a decent amount of damage and sanity is also really quite nice. And for 1 XP, I mean, that's quite a bargain.
Yeah, I like this guy. He's very underrated. I think it's because when your card pool expands, you're going to start looking at like really juicy, you know, awesome rogue allies like Lola Santiago or Delilah O'Rourke. So, like, a lot of these 1 XP rogue allies, there are actually quite a lot of them, but they get overlooked a lot because you immediately go, oh, but I want Lola Santiago.
One other thing I'll mention about Kepler Burglar 2 is that this card is probably better in solo as well, because yeah, you're not leaving the enemies for another investigator to deal with. You know, you're essentially just evading them, which is awesome.
Sometimes it's a good idea. Often it's not to give your friends your enemies. But yeah, I like this guy in Skids and Wendy, especially in the context of the core. I guess one of the downsides of this guy is that he doesn't evade the enemy. So if you disengage and move away from a hunter, that hunter's still going to attack you unless you move again. That being said, Skids is the man to be able to handle that because he can just spend two resources, buy another move, you know, and move on. Oh, I like this guy.
While Leo DeLuca is pretty flashy in that he offers you that additional action every turn, a lot of the rogue allies you see later sort of do something similar. They provide you a way of getting additional actions, but without just giving one to you on a platter. Like this guy, he gives you additional actions by disengaging potentially from a lot of enemies at once and getting that move, so you're generating some action advantage that way. I believe Lola Santiago gives you a little bit of action advantage by letting you discover clues without taking actions. Delilah O'Rourke lets you damage enemies without taking actions. So there's a lot of these rogue allies that generate this action advantage without necessarily just giving you an action like Leo DeLuca does. And oftentimes I find the action from Leo very appealing because you can use it on anything. Whereas these allies that are much more restrictive, it's just like Cat Burglar, you're evading. Lola, you're investigating. Delilah, you're attacking, sort of thing. So while they're powerful, they're also much more limited in their scope. So it's a balancing act to try to figure out, like, what do I value? Am I going to be doing a bunch of stuff, which is typically the case if you're playing solo where you've got to be good at everything and you may want to evade one. You may need that extra action to evade one turn and then fight the next. Or are you playing in a multiplayer setting where you're going to be a little more focused and you're going to be doing a lot of investigating or discovering clues, in which case, if you're evading, this guy's probably better. If you're discovering clues, Lola's probably better than Leo. That's something that's worth considering.
One other thing to consider, too, is that Leo is unique as well, so two investigators can't play him on the table. If you're playing both Skids and Wendy, you probably want to think who's going to take Leo and who's going to take Cat Burglar.
Also, one last thing I do want to point out. Cat Burglar plus Dynamite Blast.
And Cat Burglar is non-unique, so you can potentially have two of them. It is nice. I mean, it is very nice that the revised core set does include Charisma. So if you're willing to pay 4 XP, you can have Cat Burglar and Leo at the same time, and you don't have to be picky. You can play both. And if you have the resources, like that's a ton of like between Leo and this guy, that's 10 resources. So it's not something you casually do at the beginning of the game. But if you do manage to get both on the table, having 5 agility and an extra action and another action if you need to disengage from something is pretty sweet. How would you rate this guy?
I think within the confines of the core set, it's easily a +1 for me. I like this card quite a bit in Wendy. Within just the core set, and as your card pool expands, while there are certainly more appealing options, I think Cat Burglar sort of goes unnoticed in a way. You know, I do think it's pretty good, and there are certain scenarios where this comes in really clutch.
Yeah, especially since you guys play solo, the fact that Cat Burglar can just save your life, can pull you out of a situation that would cause you to lose the game, I think Cat Burglar deserves a +1 on that alone. Again, within the context of the core, I think this guy is really great. I actually think Skids is also a good home for this guy because, so you're, by taking Cat Burglar over Leo DeLuca, you're costing yourself the flexibility of your fourth action. Skids, however, already has an ability that lets him take whatever action he wants whenever he wants. So he kind of gains that flexibility back with his own special ability. So we've just made a case for Cat Burglar in both Wendy and Skids.
Yeah, I think this guy is definitely a +1. The fact that he can get you out of a ton of trouble in the third scenario of this, of the campaign in the revised core is huge. If you're having trouble with that particular scenario, take a look at Cat Burglar. He is one of the ways that that you can solve that problem. But yeah, it's interesting. As much as I like this guy, I don't know how often I've ever played him, and I feel kind of bad about that. Like, I feel like he's really, really good, but I just I've never been in a circumstance where I've necessarily needed him. But I do like him. The next card in the box is Sure Gamble. It is a 2-cost event that costs 3 experience points. Fortune and insight trait, fast play after you reveal a chaos token with a negative modifier. Switch that token from a minus to a plus. I remember the first time I played this card, and it was just a revelation. This thing can get you out of heaps of trouble, and it's not a card I have upgraded to lately. But after taking another look at the upgrades in the revised core, this is something I'll probably be purchasing a lot more often, simply because the ability to switch a negative to a plus, especially if you've got a willpower test in Skids, that can make a huge difference.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, this is
If you squint really hard, it does say Skids can pass Frozen in Fear.
I was just gonna say that. Yeah, yeah. This is Skids' best way of getting Frozen in Fear off of him, without question.
So Sir Gamble, is this like Roland's I've had worse level 4?
Like, in a way. I think the only real problem with this card is it just costs 3 XP, but I mean, this would be insane in Wendy, so I see why it costs 3 XP. You know, like you were saying, Manastrophic, there's so many options for rogues as you develop your card pool to spend their experience on that sometimes Sure Gamble can feel sort of like a luxury upgrade than a necessity.
Yeah, it sits in that space where, and I've noticed a lot of cards tend to do that, especially events where they're kind of like utility events. And then when you build your deck, you end up like not having room for utility cards because you go, okay, I've got my assets that are key and that's my engine. And this is what I want to be doing. I've got my skill cards so I can pass tests. I've got my events that are awesome and they do unique things. And then you don't have room for things like Sure Gamble, which doesn't do anything unique. It just bails you out of a test. You know, but it doesn't do something that's like, I'm going to build my whole deck around Sure Gamble.
Yeah,
so
but
it gets overlooked. Yeah.
But in Rogue, that ability to pass willpower tests is so critical. And because rogues often have the luxury of having 1 to 2 willpower and being able to get that Frozen in Fear off of you or not die from that rotting remains is key to survival oftentimes.
And the key is you don't have to use it until it saves your butt. then you can pay for it.
I think one of the reasons that Shergambo might not see as much play these days as it used to is that, especially in multiplayer, there are a lot more ways for rogues to pass off those bad cards to other investigators, or for other investigators to take those cards off rogues. Guardians have Let Me Handle This and First Watch that they can use to rig the encounter deck so that the rogue doesn't end up with something that they can't handle. And then, of course, rogues get You Handle This One in the Forgotten Age, which basically just lets them pass Frozen in Fear off to somebody else. So you don't need to spend the 3 experience points for this. But as someone who plays solo, I'm often looking for ways to deal with that rogue willpower problem. And I'm sad to say I've almost forgotten that this card existed, because I'm so used to playing rogues in a multiplayer situation where you sort of expect somebody to take those cards off your hands, or you can pass them off to somebody else. But when you're by yourself, having this card in your back pocket is very nice indeed for those times when you really need to get rid of one of those willpower treacheries that especially the Frozen in Fears in this world, where Rotting Remains, yeah, you can soak the horror, but dealing with something that's sitting in your threat area for a long time can be a real hassle. I guess the only bad thing I can really say about this card is that it doesn't have any skill icons, so if you do happen to run low on resources and you run into a skill test that you need to pass, you're kind of SOL at that point.
It's kind of like Rogue's Lucky in that regard, because Lucky also doesn't have skill icons. And this actually functions almost exactly like Lucky. You draw a really nasty token and you turn it around. And one thing that's nice about it is that it can trigger succeed by 2 effects accidentally. You turn that -4 into a +4, and now you're succeeding by 2 for all of your fun things that you've got on the board. Ah, I like this card. Like, I was just thinking about the situation where you're attacking the Ghoul Priest and you draw a -4. Oh. Well, you got this thing. It'll bail you out. And you get your extra damage on your Derringer.
So how would you rate this one?
I think I sit somewhere between a 0 and a +1. It's quite strong, especially in skids. Like we've been saying, there are tons of willpower tests that you can use this on. But as you just pointed out, Matastrophic, there are certainly plenty of circumstances where sometimes you just use this card to get those +2 succeed effects, and I can snowball you into victory.
I'd give it a +1, because I think it's once you've got this thing in your deck, you're gonna love life. But 3 XP is kind of expensive, and it's not gonna be the first thing you're gonna reach towards, because it's not like a core to building your deck, and 3 is a lot.
Yeah, I think this one is a +1 in the revised core, and then its value I think drops as your card pool expands. There's just so many other cards you're probably going to pick up before you pick up this one, especially in multiplayer, where You Handle This One is a level 0 card. Let Me Handle This in the Guardian card pools, level 0. First Watch is level 0. There's a lot more treachery cancellation as the card pool expands. It's easy for a Mystic to pick up a Ward of Protection 2 that can cancel a treachery that a rogue draws. So I find that, yeah, that 3 XP just sort of, it prices itself out of the market to a certain extent. But I think when I'm building my solo rogue decks in the future, that this one is going to rise to the top again, because that ability to pass a test that you really had no business passing in the first place is very good. You almost want to draw the worst token in the bag at that point, because to really maximize the value of swapping that minus for a plus. The next card is Hot Streak. It is a 3 cost event that costs 4 experience points. It has a wild skill icon, fortune trait, simple text, just gain 10 resources. So after you spend the 3, you're netting 7 for this card. There is a level 2 upgrade that is available in the Return to the Knight of the Zealot product that nets you 5 resources instead of 7. Rogues need resources, and this gives you a pile of them.
Yeah, this card is almost essential in skids, just because you need the money to get more actions.
Yeah, and it's pretty unparalleled in how many resources you get for one action. Yeah, if I were to have one knock against this card, it's the fact that you need to have 3 in your pool to play it.
There are sometimes circumstances, I've found that especially true with the level 2 version, that sometimes you only have three or four resources, and you're just shy like one resource, and you need all those resources. But then all of a sudden, you need to take a skill test, and now you're spending your money on Dig Deep or physical training or something like that, and then you sort of, this card just sits in your hand, and you have no way of being able to reliably play it.
Yeah, it's not a good card to help you recover from a paranoia, unfortunately, when you really need to recover after you get tagged by paranoia and you lose all but is it all your resources with paranoia? I'm getting it confused with amnesia. Yeah, this one doesn't help you recover from that, unfortunately. But rogues need a pile of resources, and as your card pool expands, you'll run into more rogues who need even more resources. And I found that I know when I played rogue in multiplayer the last time, I thought I had put in enough resource generation, and turns out I could have used even more resource generation. So don't skimp on it.
Yeah, and while this card is not great at pulling you from behind, man, oh man, is it good at pushing you forward at the beginning of the game, though.
Oh man, yes.
And then, of course, you can, once your card pool expands and you pick up Safina Rousseau, who can play events multiple times per game, you can end up with even more resources than you thought possible. How would you rate this card?
Within the confines of the core set, this has to be an Elder Sign in Skids. I mean, he needs this card. Like, this is the card he goes to for his upgrades. Within the confines of the larger card pool, I think this does lose a little bit of value, especially in comparison to the level 2 version, as that version is a lot more flexible and a lot more investigators can take the level 2 version. But I'd love this card. This is what makes me want to play rogues personally. It's just cards like this. It's just so much fun.
I'd actually give it an Elder Sign as well, because if your deck wants it, you take it. It's, this lets you build high-cost decks. This lets you build decks that leverage having lots of resources. And this is the card that gets it all going. So I think it's an Elder Sign.
Yeah, it gets an Elder Sign from me as well. There are rogues receive a lot of resource generating cards that cost XP as your card pool expands, but none give you as much as Hot Streak for so little. That 4 XP cost is quite a bit, but I think you'll find that it's definitely worth it. That brings us to one of the new additions to the revised core set. That is Lockpicks, level 1, 3 cost asset that has an intellect skill icon, item tool, illicit trait, uses 3 supplies. If Lockpicks has no supplies, discard it. As an action, you can exhaust Lockpicks, investigate, add your agility value to your skill value for this investigation. If you do not succeed by at least 2, remove 1 supply from Lockpicks and it takes up a hand slot. This is probably the easiest Elder Sign that I will ever hand out. This card almost single-handedly revolutionized Rogues when it was released in the Path to Carcosa expansion. And I think almost every Rogue plays this. This is one of the first upgrades you pick up, simply because it almost guarantees you that you're going to get a clue, and at least 1 clue a turn. And the fact that it has 3 supplies, I can probably count on 1 hand the number of times I've broken a pick.
Yeah, because like Manastrophic was saying in some of our other reviews with the Succeed by 2 cards, Lockpicks fuels that Succeed by 2 all on its own. You know, with Skids, you're investigating at a 7. With Wendy, you're investigating at a 7. It costs 1 experience. It costs 3 resources, which is perfect amount. That's just so good.
Yeah, this card's great. The only limitation is that you have to exhaust it. You can only use it once a turn. But that's okay. I mean, you know, it's okay. Rogues don't have to be, you know, as efficient as Seekers. You know, this isn't going to turn Skids into Daisy, and that's fine. Still, this is a card that lets rogues do the thing pretty well. And then once you can start combining Lockpicks with other Succeed by 2 effects, then you're in really good shape.
Yeah, you combine this with the Lucky Cigarette case that is available in later, I believe it's Threads of Fate. That's pretty much a guaranteed card draw every turn. between this and Lucky Cigarette Case, you get an extra card every turn. Just awesome card. There is a level zero version of this card available in the Winifred Habimach starter deck. It's quite a bit more fragile. Basically, if you don't succeed by two, you have to discard the lockpicks. But if you're already investigating at a seven most of the time, the chance of you breaking the picks is fairly small. I guess the biggest difference with the level zero version is that you just lose them straight out rather than breaking a pick, which won't feel very good when it happens.
If you have to start with the level zero lockpicks, start with them, sure, but upgrade out of them as soon as possible. It will ruin your day when you draw minus four and you lose your picks, and that's it.
One other thing to note about this card, too, is that in solo, so many of the locations only spawn with one clue, so that exhaust becomes fairly negligible in that format as well. So, man, does this card so good.
Yeah.
There is one thing worth noting is that while you do get to add your agility skill value to the test, you can't commit agility skill icons to the test. So just keep that in mind. Even though you get to add agility, you're still committing. If you do need to commit, you've got to commit intellect skill icons. But otherwise, this is an easy Elder Sign.
Oh, easy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That brings us to the final upgrade available, another recent addition to the revised core. This is the 41 Derringer level 2. 3-cost asset with an combat and agility skill icon, item, weapon, firearm, and illicit traits. Uses 3 ammo. As an action, spend 1 ammo. Fight, you get +2 combat for this attack. If you succeed by 1 or more, this attack deals +1 damage. Once per turn, if you succeed by 3 or more, you may take an additional action this turn, and it takes up a hand slot. What do you think about this addition to the revised core?
Matt, I think this is all you, man. You love this card.
I love this card. Well, first of all right, so it's 2 XP, which, you know, it's not too expensive. It's not 3, you know, it's 2, so it's moderate. Still got that good cost of the 41 Derringer. And, okay, so the way I look at it, it's one of those, you know, one of those cards, if you squint hard enough, you start seeing things about it. And I've noticed, okay, so often enough, when you're shooting with a weapon, you want to deal 2 damage. In that case, the fact that you only have to succeed by 1 instead of succeeding by 2 with the level 0 41 Derringer, it's kind of like giving this thing an additional +1 combat, kind of, because you're aiming for that 2 damage. And then what I really like about this is if you squint even harder, you know, it actually says if you're really lucky, gain some additional actions. And that's really good. It's like we don't have it in the core, but quick thinking. I can't remember which cycle that was from. I think that was Dunwich, but I might be wrong.
Yeah, it was in Non-Dimensioned and Unseen.
There we go. Yeah, Quick Thinking is kind of a ubiquitous rogue card. And if you squint really hard, it's got some quick thinking possibilities on it. Now, what I'm not saying is don't try to go for, you know, having every shot give you an additional action. But let's say you're shooting something twice and you succeed by 1 on one of them, and then you succeed by 3 on the other because you drew a -0 or something. Then, oh man, that's great. You've virtually spent 1 action to deal 3 damage, and, well, 4 damage even, and then you're feeling really good. I really like this card.
Yeah, I quite like this card too, for pretty much all the reasons that you said. It's a very reliable source of damage in the rogue card pool. It was honestly something that they pretty desperately needed. This also, I think, alleviates the issue of the 45 automatic and its ubiquity within the two Guardians, Skids, and Roland, respectively. They both want weapons, and Skids can now finally take something else that's still very serviceable, and Roland can finally have all his weapons as well.
I think this is one of those cards where you really want to pick your battles. Succeeding by 3 consistently is going to be pretty challenging for Skids unless he goes in all in on combat, using cards like Beat Cop and Overpower to push yourself above that succeed by 3 threshold. But by the same token, this is the card that gets you out of trouble, especially if you need to kill more than one enemy, and you can sometimes end up in those situations where you've got 2-4 health enemies and you need to be able to shoot both of them. This lets you do that. And I mean, you can also just use that extra action for anything, to escape, to get a clue if necessary. Just
cards that hand you additional actions are fantastic. And as long as you, like you said, Matastrophic, as long as you don't expect to succeed by 3 on every skill test, I think this one is definitely worth the 2 XP.
I wouldn't go for the succeed by 3 bit unless you're like desperate and you have and your skids and you have a pile of resources and a full hand of icons and you really need to get things done. I wouldn't like aim for it to specifically the succeed by 3. I think the way to think about this one is if you shoot twice and you happen to draw like a 0 on one of them and you end up succeeding by 3, then you're feeling pretty good.
I will also say that this combos really nicely with extra ammunition as well. As I think this is probably one of the best targets for it in the core set, other than maybe shotgun if you want to play that. But like you said, if you think about this maybe giving you an extra action essentially like once per clip, that's pretty good because that means it essentially replaced itself in actions, if you think about it that way. So, yeah, really strong card.
How would you rate this one?
This has to be an Elder Sign too, right? With at least for skids. I mean, it's really good in skids.
Yeah.
And as your card pool expands, when you get investigators like Tony Morgan and other combat-oriented rogue investigators, this card is probably the weapon that they jump towards as well.
Of the rogue weapons, this one's probably my favorite. So yeah, I'll give it, Elder Sign sounds good. It's great. It's a good reliable source of 2 damage attacks, and then you can get yourself some extra actions. So it's great.
I'm going to give this one an Elder Sign as well. I mean, the +2 combat is already good. The fact that you only need to succeed by 1 or more to get that +1 damage, that's really not a high bar to clear most of the time. And the fact that if you really need that additional action, you can really pump one particular skill test, whether you're using cards like Beat Cop and Overpower or even Hard Knocks, which we looked at in part 2 of this of our reviews, just to pump this test high enough that you can get that additional action. So perhaps you've got more enemies than you bargained for and you need to be able to either kill them or evade them as necessary, or you need to be able to move or resign or what have you. Additional actions are fantastic, and the fact that this gives you the option of gunning for one is fantastic. That's going to do it for our look at the upgrades in the revised core set for rogues. What do you think about upgrade paths here for skids, and to a lesser extent Wendy, since there's only a couple of the cards that Wendy can actually take here?
I mean, that being said, of the couple of cards that Wendy can take, Cat Burglar and Lockpicks are so good in Wendy.
Yes.
I think the two additions that the revised core set made to the card pool, I think significantly raised the stock of both Skids and Wendy.
Yeah.
They're staple cards, and they're probably the two most essential upgrades in so many rogue decks that you're going to be so happy that you have these in your collection, especially as you expand your card pool and maybe you get a couple extra copies of Lockpicks and a couple extra Derringers, and now you're really cooking with gas.
Yeah, the rogue upgrades are actually like they're really good. Like there's no duds in here. Skids, you're gonna want Lockpicks. You might want Cat Burglar. You're gonna want Hot Streak. And we just talked a lot about Sure Gamble, how awesome that is, you know, and 41 Derringer. It's great. Wendy, you're going to want Lockpicks. You're going to want Cat Burglar, maybe. Sure Gamble. Oh, she can't take Sure Gamble. 41 Derringer, not bad in Wendy, actually. Because, I mean, as a replacement for Baseball Bat, not bad. It's only one hand. It means she can use Lockpicks in the other. The upgrades are great in Rogue. And that's something that seems to be common across the whole game. Rogues have great upgrades.
Yeah, the issue is that sometimes you just find yourself not earning enough experience throughout campaigns. And you just can't get all the toys that you want. So rogues kind of suffer from this problem. If you aren't able to get your upgrades early and really get your deck going, you can sort of fall behind. But man, once you get those upgrades, your deck is so good.
I think in the revised core set campaign, you can probably earn at least 10 XP, maybe a little more than that. So if you go for Lockpicks right away and then a couple copies of Hot Streak, you're at 10. Already, so to get that 41 Derringer as well, you're going to have to probably earn 12 to 14. 12 is, I think, you can probably do it Not too sure about 14. That might be a little bit too difficult to go for. But there is a pretty clear, I think for Skids anyway, there's a pretty clear upgrade path. And then for Wendy, we'll look at what she has in terms of Survivor cards. But Survivor cards are all capped at 3 XP as well, so she doesn't have, she has some options there. That's going to do it for this episode. If you enjoyed what you hear, remember to like, comment, and subscribe. If you need to contact me, I can be reached at manfromlang@gmail.com. I'm also on Twitter at manfromlang. Until the stars are right, keep your shotgun close and your elder sign closer. Take care out there, and happy investigating.